How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll be honest with you, I'm really frustrated. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. It is after the ball game, a 4-2 loss to the Mets this afternoon in New York. Gwen and Chris will roll it here until, what, 6 o'clock tonight, Scrape?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm so frustrated.
Chronicles.
Yeah, I'm so frustrated. I didn't even sign on to my computer here, so nobody can see my frustration.
What is this frustration that's happening?
Well,
right,
it was a game today. The game was to me, it was one of the most frustrating losses of the entire season. And the thing to me was, this wasn't a one of those days where there was bad baseball or a lot of mistakes made or, you know, maybe a couple of little, managerial moves that I'm going to quibble with a little bit, but not overly upset about. But just in every way, this is a game they should have won. In every single way that I can think of, they should have won this game, and they did not. And the good news is they played well enough for long enough that, they can absorb a loss here. It's not ideal. But no matter what happens, even with Arizona later on at Fenway Park, Padres will come home still holding on to the sixth spot in the wild card. So the 3-3 road trip to me is acceptable, coming on the heels of the hot streak that they had. So, in that regard, I'm not going to get overly crazy about this. I am going to start strangling my computer here, though, Scraby, if it doesn't allow me to sign on. There we go. Finally. I know people
are
dying.
We're having trouble with the YouTube, though.
Oh, we are? So I can't get on that either?
Sure.
You don't know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. No, you can get on. I'm not sure why it's not broadcasting out, but we'll figure
that
out.
There you are. But
figure that out later. There you are.
All right, we'll finally get going.
I was
going
to say real quick, you said today was one of the most frustrating games of the year.
Yeah.
Two of the three games were probably some of the most frustrating games
of the year. You can say that Monday's loss was frustrating as well, and a night when you get 7 consecutive base runners and nobody scores. That's pretty hard to stomach as well. But to me, in that game, there was a couple of great plays also made by the Mets. Bench threw out those guys at the plate. Ewing threw out a guy at the plate. Those were good plays that they made to win that ball game. Today, I didn't really see the Mets do anything at all. They hit a pop fly down the third baseline that went out of the ballpark. How that was a home run, I will never know. My first thought when Bench hit that ball, that was a foul off of the third base bag. Like Song was going to chase over and try to catch it. And it ended up going out of the ballpark. The other two runs scored basically because of an error that Song made. And look, he was trying to do too much. It's the first mistake I've seen him make on defense the entire year. And then, offensively, well, here, look. Here's the main reason I was frustrated. The matchup in the game was just a gimme for the Padres today. Michael King is your ace, your best pitcher. He's going to shut them down. He does shut them down for the most part, right? 7 innings, pretty much, 6 1/3, whatever. 2 runs, and again, they came on what I just can't even believe is a ball that went out of the ballpark. So he does his thing. And then you're facing Robert Stock. Now, this is a guy that I will say this. Maybe Stock had some extra motivation. He was a Padre at one time. Didn't work out here.
Didn't work out many places.
Right, but I'm just saying, anytime you're facing one of your old teams, maybe there's a little extra. But Robert Stock can't pitch. And he proved it today. The guy can't throw a strike. He's behind every hitter in the game. He walked 3 of the first 6 batters. He hit the 7th. And he was never ahead in the count, and yet ended up with 6 strikeouts, ended up only giving up 1 run. It was just one thing after another. And I am pretty sure, without looking, that Manny has now grounded into 100 double plays this year. It is unbelievable to me how many – he's so good at heroic, home runs and everything – but every time there's a couple of runners on and he comes up, I just feel like it's a double play. And I that isn't something you can avoid necessarily. You're swinging the bat. He hits the ball hard. It goes right to somebody. It's a double play. So that's not, it's not critical. It sounds critical to him. It's not. It's just one of those years where this guy hits into a double play every single time. You looked it up. It's actually only 17, but it seems like 100.
He's tied for third in the league. Junior Caminero's number one.
I can't imagine that. Junior Caminero's done more than Manny, but
he's done five more.
Five more.
That's a lot.
He's got 22 of them. Freddie Freeman's ahead of Manny also. With 18.
Freddie Freeman, yes, you're right. Yeah.
And then Manny was 17. When he came up in that spot in the fifth inning, I'm just like, don't hit a double play. Bang, double play. Like, I can't even write it down fast enough. And just one of those days. Like, here was, and we're going to do the notes on a scorecard. I have everything for later. And there were some good things that happened today and some other stuff. But I thought the seventh inning told the story of the day. And the seventh inning was completely without any interest in terms of action on the field. But Xander Bogaerts led off that inning. The count went to 3-1, and then he struck out.
Mm-hmm.
Sun Moon Song came up. The count went to 3-1 on him, and then he struck out. Fernando came up. The count went to 3-0 on him, and then he popped out. That, to me, was the day. The Mets' pitching was terrible. They were behind in the count all day. Robert Stock, great. If you want to keep him on the Mets, good for the Mets. But the guy can't even pitch at all. He doesn't know where the ball's going. And these relievers, the guy came in the fifth inning. He walks somebody, gets behind Manny 2-0. The guy, Pintero was his name, throws one strike in the entire appearance. And, of course, Manny hits that into a double play. It was just that kind of game today. And so, you know, fit to be tied, frustrated, whatever you want to say. 4-2 Mets. There's going to be days like this. Again, 3-3. Keep it in perspective.
Notes on a scorecard.
Yeah, right. I haven't even got to the actual notes on a scorecard, but we'll get to those. And we'll talk about some of this. But, I'll give you an example of what I thought. This is really being picky, all right?
That's what notes on a scorecard is, though.
And that's what notes on a scorecard is, and so I'm going to give you a little preview of it. In the ninth inning, okay, you had runners at first and third with one out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always call him Larry. Gavin Sheets got the base hit. You get the runner, you know, you keep the, make it 4-2. The tying runs are on base. Sun Moon Song is the batter. But you know, and I know, and everybody living west of the Mississippi River knows, we are not letting Sun Moon Song bat in this situation. He can't hit. And it's something in the notes on the scorecard, but if the guy pops out the shortstop one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. Somebody teach this kid how to hit the ball on the ground. He's fast, and he never grounds out. And you'd have to look at the analytics to back that up for me, Scraby. But he should be hitting the ball into the ground and running. So he's not batting there. They have to pinch hit for him. So they come up with Austin Hayes.
Are you giving away your note now?
I'm giving a preview of notes on a scorecard.
Okay. All right.
Because I think this is being extra picky. Austin Hayes comes up instead of Sun Moon Song. What is the one thing in that situation that can kill you? First and third, one out, ninth inning, down by two.
Double play.
And you know how it really kills you? Because Fernando was on deck. The one guy that you want up there more than any other. The way he's going, and we'll talk about his performance last night because we shouldn't gloss over it. But you want, what you really want now is just for Fernando to get a chance. And that takes me back to the decision to pinch hit for Sun Moon Song. Here's why maybe you overthought it if you're Craig Stammen and the Padres. Sun Moon Song is probably not going to get a hit there. But he's also very unlikely to ground into a double play. He just is. First of all, we just talked about it. He doesn't hit the ball on the ground.
Well, I have the numbers.
But even if he does, he's fast enough to probably beat the play at first base. What do the numbers say about his fly balls, ground balls? You lose it?
Yeah.
You had it.
I had it.
Right, you look it up in a minute.
Give me a second. Oh, here we go. Hit right. Trajectory. Out of 35 plate appearances.
35?
He has 11 hits, and they're ground balls. So he's 11 ground balls, 3 fly balls, 8 line drives, 1 bunt.
Yeah, but how about outs? I mean, he pops out all the time.
Oh, I thought you were just asking me where
I don't care what his hits are. I'm talking about how many times this guy pops out in the infield. He pops up constantly.
To infield, it says...
Nah, that's wrong. He popped out to the infield twice today.
I didn't give you a number, so
okay,
I can't get it. It says split to infield, like he hit it to the infield.
All right, never mind. You're,
He's 8 for 46.
You're confusing me. The bottom line is I don't want to even look at it. The guy pops up all the time, and he would have been a better choice to bat there than Austin Hayes. Austin Hayes had a better chance of getting a hit, but Austin Hayes also, if he hits a ground ball, the game's over. And he did, and Fernando never got up. So did you overthink it a little in the ninth inning? If Song bats, he probably pops up or strikes out, but at least Fernando would have got up. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So those are the kind of things. It was a frustrating day, and, you know, every game matters to me, and I think you got to look at them all and say, hey, you know, where could we have won this game? You know, you can't be throwing games away at this point. Fortunately, like I said, you know, the Diamondbacks have been losing here. They're having, obviously, an issue with this Ketel Marte thing.
Yeah.
He's tearing that ball club apart. Torrey Lovello, he's a good manager, but I don't know that even he can fix this. Half the people in that organization are saying, don't ever let Ketel Marte suit up again.
Mm.
Half the people are saying, hey, he's got a problem. We need to get him some help. Half the people are saying, what the hell's going, you know, like it's all over the place. And meanwhile, the Diamondbacks are playing a pennant race, and they're getting waxed.
Yeah.
So that's their issue. Fernando's performance last night, I just want to say a couple of things about it. Number one, ESPN 2 days ago did its up-to-date rankings of what they call the top 50 players in baseball. All right? Shohei Ohtani is number one. PCA is number two. But anyway, on down the list. You know where Fernando came in? This is 2 days ago. Fernando Tatis Jr., considered by many to be one of the great talents in the game. Where did he come in the top 50? I will tell you, he was on the list. He did make the top 50, but where?
Well, he kind of has flown under the radar this year because of his bad start, so I would say he's in the 38 range.
Well, he's the best fielding outfielder in the game,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's won 2 platinum gloves. He was 47th. Well, the guy who played last night was not 47th.
No.
That was an incredible performance. The catch he made to rob, even if that robbed a solo home run with 2 outs in the ninth inning of a 10-0 game, you would see that on the highlight reel. But the fact that it took away a grand slam put it on another level.
I wish I was as cool as him.
He is pretty cool.
Like when he lands and he just puts his arms across his chest and just stands there.
He's pretty cool.
Like that was awesome.
Yeah, those guys are all good at that stuff. They're all good at knowing how to preen.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
No.
All of them are good at that.
Oh, no. We're going down that road.
And Fernando's on that list.
I will say you can't give Fernando any crap if Julio Rodriguez is throwing the ball into the stands with 1 out or 2 outs during a game.
That was pathetic. That was absolutely pathetic.
Just threw it in the stand. They were down like 18-0.
Yeah, they lost 22-0, and it was a sacrifice fly is what it was. And the bottom of the eighth inning with the bases loaded, and Rodriguez caught it for the second out, thought it was the third out, threw it up into the stands. It cost Seattle another run or two in a game that turned out to be a tie for the largest shutout in baseball history, 22-0 last night.
All right, I was looking in the wrong place for the Sun Moon.
You're going to try to give me some Sun Moon?
It's not outs.
All right, what is it?
It's explain what you're looking at. All of his batted balls. Like,
all of his batted balls
this year. Every
ball
that's been put in play.
All right.
44.4% are ground balls. 55.6% are fly balls, which is backing up your theory that he hits more fly balls than ground balls.
Yeah, but
so that proves it.
I can't even believe he's got 44% ground balls, honestly. I can't remember a ground ball. I've watched him bat all year. Almost everything he hits goes up in the air. And I know that's got to be something that they've noticed. He's faster than hell. He should hit it on the ground and run. He can make things happen that way. Pop-ups to shortstop do nobody any good.
I mean, we've seen him do some great things on the bases.
And he's also not going to hit it out of the ballpark.
No.
So he should not be hitting it in the air.
No.
So that's just been one of my frustrations.
I will say he's way further along than Ha-Seong Kim. So we have two, like, because I went into the year judging it by Ha-Seong Kim standards, but I think he's way further along. And so hopefully he can get that down here in the next couple.
Yeah.
Maybe the next offseason.
Maybe so. Ha-Seong Kim, by the way, is having the worst offensive season in baseball history.
This is pretty bad.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
It's the worst batting average.
It's also filtered by like 85 plate appearances. So. But it is
okay. But
in
I'm going to finish my thought. Okay, he's hitting .066. His slugging percentage is .066. He has no extra base hits, zero. And in the history of baseball, guys with as many at bats as him, in the history of the game, this is the worst numbers anyone's ever had. And
it's not unless you want to be on.
I doubt they're chanting Ha-Seong Kim in Atlanta.
You don't think so?
When he comes up?
Yeah, you don't think there's chanting, Ha, Song, Kim.
I don't think so.
He should have never left San Diego. He had it so good here.
He had it good here, yeah. At least the good news for Brave fans, he's not on base, so he can't screw up there, which is where he was talking about frustration. That drove me crazy.
Andy said, every time Song hits it into the air, he should do 10 push-ups. That will teach him.
Well, thank you. He should be not, but I don't want to call in, you know, it was in vogue in May and June to be critical of the hitting coach. It's not so much anymore. But I just can't believe they haven't worked with him and got him to hit the ball on the ground. You look at the way he swings, the ball is going to pop up into the air. I don't know how to fix it, but I am not a hitting coach. And I know that there are players in baseball. I saw them for years and years under Whitey Herzog and the St. Louis Cardinals and the Royals and teams like that, where guys would just come up and beat the ball into the ground and drive you crazy. Sungmoon Song should be that kind of player. Pop up, shortstop, pop up, center field.
Chicks don't dig the grounder.
They don't dig the pop up either. I don't know too many chicks who like that.
Yeah, chicks are like, wow, look at that in the air. That's a
with
great
all
pop-up.
With all due respect, a ground ball with a couple of runners on base still might move a runner up to third.
That's
a
true.
A pop up never moves anywhere.
That is true.
All right, very frustrating game. Mets win it. We'll tell you what else is going on in sports when we come back. We do have notes on a score. We have notes on the scorecard right now, Scraby
yes.
says. So we'll just get right into all of it. Daily Gambit later. Kurt Kenny, apparently, this does not surprise me. And I'm curious to see what Kurt tells us on this. But you Aztec fans need to tune in and know about this. The one marquee game that is on the Aztecs' home football schedule the next, what, 3-4 years?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking marquee, I'm talking not Texas State, not Boise State. It's Oklahoma. They're supposed to come here and play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apparently, they want to get out of the game.
Yeah, he wrote an article the other day, Kirk Kenny did, saying that SDSU could be losing matchups with Power 4 opponents. So
yeah, that's
unfortunate.
That's the last thing they need. It really
but
is.
But they're in the Pac-12 now. Come on, Oklahoma.
The bottom line is, the gap between the haves and the have-nots in college football is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and greed is won out, and everybody's into getting as greedy and making as much as possible.
You ain't wrong
and it's
there.
Ruining college football.
You ain't wrong there.
Chris, there are the fans later. Also, even though Tony's traveling today, we went ahead and thanks to the great the gift of audio recording. Is that the right way to describe
audio and video recording?
Is it on video too?
Yeah,
I don't know if
video.
It was. It was, okay. We're going to have an edition of Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show later in the program. And being as I already know, how it turned out, I can just tell you it was incredible. It was one of the better ones we've ever had. So that'll be later in the show. Thanks for being with us. 4-2 Mets. Ugh.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Right on right. Was there something about the swing?
No, it was just kind of, you know, feeling like we had a better hitter probably in the box. You know, you could argue both ways, and kind of went that way.
That was Craig Stammen answering our question about why he went with Austin Hayes there instead of Sun Moon Song. He's not wrong. He had a better hitter in the box. I mean, Austin Hayes is better than Sun Moon Song. You know, my point was, I don't care. I want Sun Moon Song to strike out or whatever there, you know, because I want Fernando to come up. Fernando's just been on fire. He hits a 3-run homer, probably wins the game the way he's been going.
Yeah.
But, you know, Hayes gives you an extra swing. You know, he could double off the wall, and then, you know, that looks pretty good too. So, didn't happen. He double played, and the game ended with Fernando on deck. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 4-2 Mets. Time for the rest of it all, broken down from beginning to end in the notes on a scorecard.
What did Chris like? What does Chris want to clean up? Observations written on a grocery list. Notes on a scorecard starts now.
All right, here is the scorecard and the notes and all my wife's grocery list. I think we had 12 pages last week for that great game.
Yes, yes.
I don't think we're quite that many today. let's just start in the second inning. Not much happened in the first. Horrible challenge by Luis Campusano. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this. Probably at least another 100 times. They're getting better, the Padres, in terms of getting them right, but they're not getting better at when to use them. And top of the second on a 1-1 count just is not the time to try it. And even if you're right, okay, so the count's 2-1, big deal. Nobody was on base. Anyway, he was wrong. Campusano's wrong. Now you're down a challenge in the top of the second inning. Campusano ended up walking anyway. It's not smart. Somebody teach these guys. And I'm tired of the old, well, it's not easy. I get it, but it doesn't mean you can't teach them and start working on it. In the playoffs, you can't lose your challenges. How many pitches did you see in the eighth or ninth inning today, seriously, that were missed called that the Padres couldn't touch?
I do know they wanted to challenge a few times, but I didn't.
You can't blow them like that in the second inning. Bases loaded, 3-2 pitch, challenge. But a 1-1 count? Please. Selfish. Xander got hit by a pitch, 2-1 with one out. And Sun Moon Song challenges. He was correct by this much, Scraby.
I know.
This much. It's not like he knew, but he tried it. If he's wrong there, we're done in the top of the second inning. That's just, you got to be better at that. And I've been saying the same thing, you know, all year, unfortunately. And you know what happened also later in that at bat? Song didn't challenge what would have been the pitch that loaded the bases. And I wonder if somebody yelled at the dugout, absolutely stop challenging. But the one he could have challenged would have loaded the bases. Instead, he popped up. Oh, Song popped up. I'm shocked. Let's go to the top of the third inning. Torres challenged a 1-2 pitch to Manny. It was called the ball. He challenged it. He got the strike. I don't even know if that's a good call, but it's better than Campusano's. At least it got a strikeout for his team. And if he was wrong, it would have hurt. But at least he had something to gain. Campusano had nothing to gain. That's what upset me. And Stock ends up striking out the side in that inning. Or Stock does. Did I say Stock?
Yes.
65 pitches through three innings. He was on pace for a 195-pitch shutout. That's how bad Stock was, and we didn't do anything against
when
him.
When you put it like that.
Yeah, he was on pay 190. Now, Nolan Ryan probably did that a few times, but I don't think it in this day and age.
I'm going to say this a few times today, but
yeah,
you just can't let Robert Stock beat you.
Not when he's behind every hitter. You got to make him pay once. They never did. Bottom of the third inning, just a quick note here. We could talk about it further someday. But they flashed to the stands in New York. I saw seven or eight Padre jerseys just like that. And I'm pretty sure those weren't there before Juan Soto was acquired.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Juan Soto trade, which everybody wants to bring back on us. And you know how much I am a Juan Soto fan. Not
you
very
love
big.
So much.
But that was what made the Padres relevant, and it is carried over now. There are Padre fans in these ballparks that were not there before. Bottom of the third, a little teaching moment here from Uncle Chris. A fly ball to right field. Fernando grabs it. But it was a really high fly, and it was right in the sun. You could see. And I just think maybe not everybody understands how to catch a fly ball in the sun there and what Fernando's doing. But what he's doing, you know, if it's something you know, then fine. But if it's something you don't know, maybe it helps you or your kid or something. What he wants to do is he wants to take the glove, and he should know before the ball is hit where the sun is. That's part of his game and any outfielder's game. But when that ball goes up, his glove immediately goes up and covers the sun. It does not go where the ball is necessarily. It goes where the sun is, and that is what allows him to see the ball. He keeps the glove in the sun the entire way until the last time the ball's coming down. Now he reaches over and grabs the ball. Just a little thing. Not sure everybody's aware of how that works. So I thought I'd throw it in there.
Oh, I was waiting. Honestly, I was waiting for what did he do wrong? I was thinking.
No, he didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, all right.
No, he did it perfect.
I was going to say, he does. That is not an easy catch to
make. No, they're tough. They're tough. Sun balls like that are tough, but they can make them look easy
if
they do it right. And again, the key to that as an outfielder, if you're a young outfielder, if you know young outfielders, teach them. You're in right field. Before the pitch or the batter, look up and see where the sun is. Take a glance. You should already know where it is.
Boom.
So when the ball goes up, glove goes up, you block the sun. All right. Just a little teaching moment. King got through the first nine batters, three innings and 30 pitches. So whereas our guy Stock was on the page for 195-pitch shutout, King was on pace for a 90-pitch shutout. I liked his chances better.
He looks so good sometimes, and then it just leaves him.
I know. All right, bottom or top of the fourth, ground ball up the middle. Nice play by Marcus Semien. Throw out, I think, Rengifo. That was a really good play. But it doesn't change the fact that the Mets trading for him and giving away Brandon Nimmo is one of the worst trades made this year in all of baseball. Semien is done. Stick a fork in this guy. I don't even know why they keep putting him in the lineup. Certainly they must have somebody young they can try to groom. Anyway, that's their problem, not mine. Bottom of the fourth inning, you get the base hit by Ewing, and then you get Lindor hitting the ball 6 inches. Do you know how hard it is to hit the ball 6 inches?
It's very hard. You have to, like, barely nick the ball with
the
bat.
Do? You couldn't try to do that for 5 years.
No.
But also, Lindor doesn't run. I mean, I'm not surprised anymore. He just doesn't run. Easy double play for Camposano. Good play, but these guys just frustrate me with their lack of hustle sometimes.
He was still upset about his grand slam being robbed.
Whatever. the inning wasn't over, though, unfortunately, because King gave up the two-out walk. He threw the lane-changing pitch to Benj on 2-2. The pitch almost hit him and was almost a strike.
Mm-hmm.
It came back. But it missed, unfortunately, and two pitches later, a fly ball that I don't know how it went out of the ballpark, but it did.
The Mets have something brewing with their young outfielders.
Yeah, those two guys are good. Ewing and Benj are good. Top of the fifth, Xander rips a shot off the wall for the Padres' first hit. I don't know what he was doing, But he got around first. He stopped. Then he thought, eh, what the hell? I'll try it.
I was like, what are you doing?
We can't get you thrown out there. Once you hesitate, just stay. The old saying, he who hesitates is lost. Stay there. But he ran to second, and he's lucky the throw was offline.
He's very lucky.
Because he would have been out.
He would have been out by a mile.
And it would have been another bogus, dumb base running play by us.
Well, he left the game, so we'll have to check in about the injury.
Yes, he left later in the game. But these things drive me crazy. Of course, he's on second with nobody out. What does Song do? What do you think?
I'm scared to say.
Popped up!
I know.
So Xander doesn't move. Fernando rescued it with an RBI double, 2-1. They take Stock out. They bring this other guy in. I talked about it earlier, Pintaro. He throws four balls to Cronenworth, two balls to Manny, then gets one pitch over the plate, and Manny hits into his 100th double play of the year. 5-4-3 ends the rally. Just so frustrating. Part of a very frustrating day.
I just got an update on Xander.
Give it to me.
He has a cramp. So it was nothing.
Oh,
literally,
brother.
That's what came out after the game.
So he left the game with a cramp.
Yeah, he had a cramp.
Awesome.
He said Craig Stammen said he's fine. We're just being precautious.
The good news is he have a cramp. The bad news is he's available for the next game.
That is true.
top of the sixth inning, another lead double, Ty France. Well, how are they going to screw this up?
No outs?
No
right?
outs. Get him to third. Whatever you do, Jackson Merrill.
Just do something.
You've got to tie the game here. We got to get the runner to third. This is playoff baseball. This is what we're going to be seeing in October. No, he strikes out. Rengifo strikes out. Campusano grounds out. Padres are 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position today. That cost them.
A lot of people are saying that's when they knew the game was over.
It was just one of those days.
Yep.
The frustration level, for sure. Bottom of the seventh, Campusano challenges a 2-0 pitch. This wasn't a bad challenge, but since he was wrong and since he blew the one earlier in the game, that's where it comes back to bite you. Now you're out of them, and in the eighth and ninth inning, there were at least four pitches that I think could have been challenged, but the Padres couldn't do it. And you can't... Anyway, I'm blue in the face talking about that. Bottom of the seventh, Semien got a hit, and Alvarez... I like that play by Alvarez. Trying to score, swim around the tag. That was a great try.
If
I like good
works.
Stuff
I mean, yeah.
like that. Really good throw, obviously, by Fernando. You knew he'd do that. Did you also notice when Alvarez came in, we talked about this the other day, that the on-deck hitter, Torrens, was telling him where to slide? He was, something the Padres did not do the other night. But anyway, I don't know if he touched home or not, but they could not find any clear evidence that he did, so he was out. Another, you know...
You just never know which way those replays are going to go.
You don't. But I didn't see him ever actually touch it, so I didn't think they were going to overturn that. Luckily, they did not. The bottom of the eighth, I thought this was the key moment in the game. I know you think it was the Song steal or the Song error, most of you. I thought the biggest deal was after walking Ewing, Estrada just lost concentration for a second. Ewing walked off of first and just kept going and stole second. That was a big deal, as it turned out, because Lindor got a single. To me, that would have kept Ewing at second. Instead, he was already at second. He went to third. Now when the ball was chopped to Song, he hurried. He was trying to make a great ending double play to keep the run from scoring, and he rushed it, and we know what happened. And that led to a 4-1 game. And ninth inning, I think we already went over it, right? We did. Shouldn't Oh, by the way, Kodai Senga.
Yeah, he's a closer now.
0-8 with a 9.66 ERA as a starter. How are you even still in baseball? Don't they have anybody that they could have brought in?
No, he's been good as the closer.
I know that, but I'm just saying, how did he even survive that?
Because they paid him a lot of money many years ago. Remember, he was a big name to come over. That well, ghost fork.
Yeah,
that
I
he
know
throws.
What he was. Anyway, the Padres got the rally there, but at the end, it was like, please don't hit in a double play. Fernando's on deck. Do anything. Adam came in, he said, they should have just told Austin Hayes to not swing, like Little League. Just stand there. But whatever you do, let Fernando come up. He never came up.
Nope.
And the day ended frustratingly. 4-2
Metropolitans. Can't leave the hero on deck.
I don't have time, but there was one play in the top of the ninth inning that I also want to discuss when we come back, because it's just a carryover, but a teaching moment that shows me that guys don't understand the nuances of baseball. We'll do that. We'll get into this hour number two.
It's just old man corner now.
That's not old man corner. That's just legit smart baseball. It's coming up.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.